Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And welcome back, everybody, to Legacy Arena. I am Nathan King here with Mark Murphy. And Auburn is going home in the round of 32 for the second straight season. They lose to the number two overall seed, the number one seed in the Midwest region, Houston. They lose 81-64 today here in Birmingham. Mark, you and I remember at halftime, we kind of walked past you, exchanged a little bit of a look like they might be able to do this thing. Auburn was up 10 points at halftime. They had a great run heading into the second half, heading into the locker room there at the break. But, you know, you always hate to use the cliche, a tale of two halves in any in any instance. But, man, on both ends of the floor, this really was the case for Auburn. It was an elite team in Houston, you know, a great team, a team that can win the national title this year, making the right adjustments at halftime and completely locking up Auburn after the break.
Yeah, Auburn got outscored 50-23 in the second half, and Auburn lost the lead fairly quickly in the second half. Just had a 10-minute-plus spell without a field goal, which, I mean, it's incredible. They still had a chance to win the game with about 6 minutes left, and Auburn was up. Actually three fairly late in the game, but just didn't close it out very well. We've seen this team have some problems with that before, Nathan. And, you know, the first half was probably one of the better halves of the season, particularly considering the competition. And got after them defensively, you know, had a lot of assists, not many turnovers. And, you know, I started thinking about what I was going to order at Kansas City Joe's barbecue the next week. One of my favorite spots on the earth for eating food.
Yeah, they would have been able to go back, like you mentioned, they would have been able to go back to Kansas City with a win here. You know, they were hanging around, like you mentioned, in the first half. A lot of patience offensively, I thought, against a really good defense. Obviously, they're working well on the other end as well, but it was a good burst by them heading into halftime. Ended up being a 17-4 run heading into the break. It's a 10-point lead. Everything was working for Auburn there heading into halftime, but after the half, it was interesting. Kelvin Sampson, Houston's coach, said after the game, he was actually glad that Houston started on defense because then they got a stop. It set the tone. He said really there weren't that many adjustments made. It was kind of more about focus and more about confidence for his defense there in the second half. But they make a field goal, Auburn does, on their third possession of the second half. They went the next 10 and a half minutes, Mark, without a made shot. They end up going only 4 of 24 in the second half. Houston was extending catches. There wasn't anything easy, and even when it was easy, and they were able to get to the free throw line. That's something we haven't even talked about today. It was a dreadful free throw performance. That if Auburn had been a little bit better, they maybe would have had a chance to win this game.
Yeah, Auburn was 15-26 at the free throw line in the second half, which is just a crazy number. 0-5 on threes. You mentioned they shot 16.7% from the field in the second half, and that was a big problem. So, you know, the defense wasn't nearly as good as it needed to be in the second half, but I mean, when you're shooting that poorly, the odds that you're not going to hold on to a 10-point lead at halftime are slim and none against a good team.
This wasn't, percentage-wise, it wasn't their worst free throw performance of the year. They had one worse, it was at Vanderbilt when they shot 50%, but they left 17 points at the foul line.
Crazy number. Auburn did. This is the most free throws they've ever shot in an NCAA tournament game by four.
Wow.
And, they had a great opportunity to pull off the upset. If they would have made about 75-80%, I thought it would probably have been a close game down the stretch. And, you know, Houston, their key guys have played a lot of minutes. And, you know, the strategy for Auburn was trying to tire them out, play 10 guys, and have the fresher legs at the end. But Auburn shot so poorly, Nathan, it just didn't matter.
Yeah, this was the most free throws attempted by Auburn in a game all season. It was the most free throws attempted against Houston all season long, but like we talked about, there was really nothing easy for them in the second half, and that included the free throw line. Even when Auburn was able to drive inside the paint, they only took 5 threes in the second half. That's compared to 11 in the first half. They made 5 of 11 in the first half, missed all 5 of their attempts from beyond the arc in the second half. So that kind of shows how Houston was really kind of spacing out Auburn's catches on the perimeter. But even when they were able to get inside, I thought this number was crazy, Mark. You know, Auburn missed 20% of their shots they missed 20 shots in the second half. 8 of those were blocked. So Houston, you know, of Auburn's 20 misses, 40% of them were blocked by Houston. And that's what Dylan Cardwell said after the game. He said, look, it's not the tallest front court in the world, but they're so athletic. He said it was honestly kind of surprising some of the shots they were able to block. And so Houston's been one of the 3 or 4 or 5 best defenses in the country all season. And they were really, really able to flex that in the second half. And Auburn just wasn't able to, you know, when Wendell Green isn't able to get to the basket, when he's, you know, getting his shot blocked. Jani Broome obviously had a lot of frustrations. He might have been one of Auburn's better players otherwise in this game, but obviously he missed 10 free throws. And so when those two guys aren't able to get going, it's been difficult for Auburn. It was difficult in this game. It's been difficult all season for them.
You know, if you really want to look at one aspect that turned in a big time way from the first to second half, Auburn dominated the points in the paint in the first half.
Yep.
Second half, Houston dominated the points in the paint, and they were getting good looks. They shot 50% in the second half, but a lot of those shots were from close range, and they're very athletic. They were able to shoot over Auburn small guards, and Tremont Mark, the guy that, you know, they weren't expecting to have a big game, scores 26 points, takes 17 shots, hits 8 of 9 free throws and pulls down 9 rebounds. Well, he was a difference maker tonight.
Yeah, and you know, Marcus Sasser and Jamal Shedd, their injury statuses were obviously, I don't know about up in the air, but they were definitely in question for this game. Sasser had been dealing with a groin injury, and then Shedd had been dealing with a hyperextended knee. Sasser looked just fine in this game. He scored 9 points before the first media timeout even happened. He got into foul trouble. Auburn had an opportunity there in the second half, Mark. You had Sasser fouled, picked up his 4th foul with about 11 minutes left in the game. And then about a minute later, you had Shedd pick up his 4th foul. And I thought this was just telling of Auburn's, you know, how they weren't able to capitalize on that. When Sasser left the game that first time, when he went with his 4th foul, when he left the game, Auburn was down by only 2. When he came back, they were down by 13. So they weren't able to take advantage and beat him.
That was really telling in this game, because, you know, Houston's backup stepped up and played really well. Auburn's backups outplayed them in the first half. Houston's backups outplayed Auburn in the second half, and that was a big deal. And you're talking about fouls. You know, Roberts fouled out. Jamal Shedd had 4 fouls. Sasser 4 fouls. So, and also Jairus Walker had 4 fouls. And, you know, he was everything, you know, I expected him to be, a guy that narrowed it down to Auburn and Houston. He had 10 rebounds, only had 7 points, didn't have a big offensive game, but boy, he blocked 6 shots.
Yep.
So, yeah, he's a full-grown young man.
Yeah, their starting front court combined for 8 blocks, like I mentioned, that second half, season-high 12 blocks for Houston in this game. And so really they were able to just get it to the game they wanted there in the second half. And, you know, Bruce Pearl said after the game, about 5 or 6 minutes to go, he said, you know, he didn't really think their offense was panicking in the second half. They were trying to run their stuff. It was just getting thwarted on the perimeter by Houston's defense. But with about 5 or 6 minutes left, that's when, over dribbling, just trying to get up shots, the lead was, the deficit was double digits. It was pretty much over from there. And so, like we talked about, you know, second straight season, Auburn goes out in the round of 32. Of course, this time around, a little bit bigger of an accomplishment to be here for Auburn. I think last year, I thought it was interesting, Mark, kind of the tenor of Auburn fans heading into this game. Last year, when we were, you know, heading into this game and it was a 10 seed Miami, people just, you know, they expected all season to be in the Sweet 16. Like, oh, it's a 10 seed, I'm going to get right past them. This game was a little bit more house money. You know, you're going up against the 1 seed. You were a 9 seed. You haven't had the best season by Auburn standards, but still a year where they make the tournament. And it kind of had that feel tonight. And when things started slipping away, frustrations were there. But at the same time, I think most Auburn fans recognize this is a team that maybe when you consider the roster, when you consider what they've gone through this season, kind of their ups and downs, it might be a team that overachieves a little bit this year.
Yeah, and when you look at the postseason in the NCAA tournament, Auburn played 4 halves. 3 of them were well played.
Yeah.
That's a good point. The second half tonight here against Houston was very poorly played. So, Bruce Pearl's ready to turn the page. That's what he told the players afterwards. That's what the players told me after the game. They're going to, fret over this a bit, but, I mean, it's not going to do them a whole lot of good to wallow in self-pity for a long time. They need to worry about getting better and move ahead towards next year.
Yeah, and speaking of moving ahead, you know, we're going to continue to have coverage from this event here in Birmingham over the next few days at Auburn Undercover. Auburn.com. There were a couple interviews and stories, you know, like guys like Chance Westry and Yohan Traore that we talked to this week that we haven't gotten a chance to talk to earlier in the year. Like, we'll have stories on them. And so keep it locked, AuburnUndercover.com, inside the Auburn Tigers for more sort of post-mortem of the end of Auburn's 2022-23 season. So thank you guys so much for joining us today. For Mark Murphy, I'm Nathan King. We'll see you guys later.
Greetings, Fantasy Warriors. I'm Heath Cummings, your guide to fantasy dominance on FFT Dynasty. Join me this offseason where mock drafts become epic showdowns and every pick shapes your legacy.
If I was Adam, with the team that he's built, Will Levis makes so much more sense.
And that's not all. We're peeling back the curtain on the future with our exclusive 2024 NFL Draft Prospect Profiles. Uncover hidden gems that'll elevate your roster to legendary status.
Puka Nacua. After Cooper Kupp, we really have no idea who's going to get the targets.
Keaton Mitchell of East Carolina. Explosive speed is ridiculous.
This isn't just a podcast. It's a playbook for champions. Subscribe to FFT Dynasty now, and together we'll conquer the fantasy football frontier. Your dynasty journey starts here.